I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, a taxing matter. President Trump is set to announce new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports as China begins tariffs of its own on the U.S. We have the latest. International debut. Vice President J.D. Vance makes his first overseas trip since taking office. Learn what he's discussing with world leaders. Speaking out. A Vatican official reacts to the Trump administration's actions on aid programs. And praying for peace. Pope Francis shares a message with military personnel all over the world. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Scholastica. Our top story tonight, President Donald Trump and his administration continue full speed ahead in reshaping government, cutting costs, going after waste, and reducing staff. The efforts have brought both applause and criticism. Making news tonight, tariffs. The president laying out a new plan involving steel and aluminum. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, good evening to you. President Donald Trump has been focused on tariffs, zeroing in on metal to the tune of 25%.
On Air Force One, en route to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, President Donald Trump tells reporters,
any steel coming into the United States is going to have a 25% tariff.
What about aluminum, sir?
Aluminum, too.
In addition,
I'll be announcing probably Tuesday or Wednesday at a news conference reciprocal tariffs, and very simply, it's if they charge us, we charge them. That's all.
Asked when it goes into effect?
Almost immediately. But I'll be announcing the details of it, highly detailed. And it'll be great for everybody, including the other countries. But if they are charging us 130% and we're charging them nothing, it's not going to stay that way.
One analyst believes Trump is committed to moving forward with tariffs beyond China and, in fact, globally.
This administration, the president has a set of advisors who just are far more committed to the economic theory that tariffs work, not just the national security theory, but also the economic theory that believe that this will generate revenue.
Also on President Trump's radar, the penny. He said on Truth Social he doesn't want to see any more new pennies produced.
For far too long, the United States has minted pennies, which literally cost us more than 2 cents. This is so wasteful. I've instructed my Secretary of the U.S. Treasury to stop producing new pennies. Let's rip the waste out of our great nation's budget, even if it's a penny at a time. Meanwhile, back on Air Force One Sunday, as the president was heading to the game, this announcement from the pilot.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please direct your attention out the right side of the aircraft. Air Force One is currently in international waters, for the first time in history, flying over the recently renamed Gulf of America. Please enjoy the flight.
And separately tonight, that buyout offer to federal employees? Well, the White House says 65,000 federal employees have accepted the offer to quit for financial incentive. But just today, a federal judge putting that buyout plan on an extended pause. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN Newsnight.
All right, thank you, Owen. And joining us now is Chris Markowski, founder of Markowski Investments and host of the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast. Chris, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. First off, your take on these new tariffs.
I'm not a big fan of tariffs whatsoever, unless, of course, they are reciprocal. Free trade means the rules are the same for both sides. If we have certain nations that are putting tariffs on us and they don't match, I don't have any problem with them at all reciprocating with this. And in this situation, I think that this is going to benefit the United States. He also has on deck, too. We're also talking about dealing with copper and pharmaceuticals and other items as well.
Chris, do you think this could be a strategy to bring more steel manufacturing back here to the United States?
Well, he just met with the Japanese prime minister last week, and there actually was part of the conversation. It's still up in the air whether or not Nippon is going to be able to buy U.S. steel, where they were going to be making a massive investment in that plant. We don't know if that's going to go through. We have the capacity and the ability to do it here now. The problem that we deal with in Asia, quite frankly, is the dumping, is where you're going to end up getting a lot of steel and aluminum that are put here, where basically these countries produce this at a loss and dump it here in this country, which screws up the entire market.
Let's talk about these maybe potential retaliatory tariffs. What do you think that we could see coming from other countries on this?
Again, each country handles us differently. We actually had some movement last week where supposedly the EU is going to move forward in lowering tariffs on American cars going over to Europe. I think that they were 10% on American cars, and I think we charged 2.5% on European cars coming into this country. That to me makes sense. I mean, everybody wants to do business with people around the globe. We want to have trade, but we don't want barriers to put up. When you're dealing with China, you're dealing with also other issues as well. For a myriad of different reasons, they don't allow a lot of our technology companies to go over there. It's not like X and Facebook and those companies can operate there freely. Not to mention the fact, you know, China has also had a lot with intellectual property theft.
Yeah. And a lot of people thinking, you know, how is this going to impact me personally? What do you think?
Well, the concern is that the input costs for things like cars are going to go up in price, which can turn around and make it more expensive to buy automobiles. I'm not sure if that's the case. Right now, we're basically with these initial reciprocal tariffs, what it's going to be and what it seems to be coming down to is then they go to the negotiating table and see where there's going to be the meeting of the minds.
All right, and we're going to leave it right there. Chris, thank you so much for weighing in. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right, now to the Middle East, where Hamas announced that it is delaying this weekend's planned hostage release until further notice. A spokesman for the group accused Israel of violating the terms of the ceasefire agreement. In response, the Israeli defense minister said that he had instructed the country's military to prepare at the highest level of alert for any possible scenario in Gaza. The announcement came shortly after President Trump said Palestinians from Gaza would not have a right to return under his proposal for the U.S. to take over the war-torn territory. Israeli police raided two Palestinian bookstores in Jerusalem, saying the books contained incitement and support for terrorism. Take a look at this video right here. It was taken by the bookstore's surveillance camera. You can see police officers taking a brief look at the books and then putting them in trash bags. The owner and nephew of the decades-old bookshop were arrested and will be facing a court hearing. Vice President J.D. Vance is stepping onto the world stage for his first international trip since taking office. The VP is attending a conference on artificial intelligence while showcasing the foreign policy style of the new Trump administration. The AI summit has drawn world leaders, top tech executives, and policymakers to discuss the impact of AI on global security and other concerns. Later this week, Vance will travel to Germany for the Munich Security Conference. Well, a third federal judge has issued an injunction blocking President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship. The executive order instructed the government to stop recognizing as citizens any child born on U.S. soil to undocumented immigrant parents. The executive order has already been blocked indefinitely by a federal judge in Maryland who issued a nationwide injunction last week and by a similar action by another federal judge in Seattle. Well, the Vatican's department overseeing the pastoral care of migrants and humanitarian relief is weighing in on the Trump administration's cuts to USAID. It is also sending a direct message to the president himself about Christian values. EWTN Vatican Bureau Chief Andreas Tannhauser has more.
The United States Agency for International Development is charged with delivering humanitarian assistance overseas. In his first day in office, President Trump ordered $60 billion in foreign assistance frozen for 90 days. Without that support, humanitarian experts warn that already precarious global aid efforts could collapse. Cardinal Michael Czerny, who heads the Vatican Office for Integral Human Development, is raising the red flag about the cuts.
Well, certainly the cuts are a matter for real concern because there are programs underway and expectations and we might even say commitments. And to break commitments is a serious thing. So while every government is qualified to review its budget, in the case of foreign aid, it would be good to have some warning, because it takes time to find other sources of funding or to find other ways of meeting the problems.
The Cardinal's comments coincided with a sharp rebuke from Caritas Internationalis, a global confederation of Catholic relief and social services, which on Monday strongly condemned what it called the reckless decision by the U.S. administration to abruptly close USAID-funded programs and offices worldwide. One of USAID's recipients is Catholic Relief Services. The U.S. Catholic Church's primary aid agency has already sounded the alarm about the impact. Another area for concern for the Vatican and Catholic bishops in the U.S. is the Trump administration's crackdown on undocumented migrants.
A crackdown is a terrible way to administer affairs, and much less to administer justice. And so I'm very sorry that many people are being hurt and indeed terrorized by the measures. And I can only hope that the church in each place is able to help them and, if possible, even protect them.
Inspired by the biblical call to welcome the stranger, Francis has made caring for all migrants a major priority of his pontificate.
That's all we can hope for, is that the people, God's people and other people of goodwill, will help and protect those who are suddenly vulnerable, people who are suddenly made much more vulnerable.
In Rome, Andreas Tonhauser, EWTN News Nightly.
And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including flu season is in full swing. And across the country, many are ill. We talked to an infectious disease expert about why this year is so bad. And the Pope welcomes military members from across the globe. Special message he shared with them. A new report released by the CDC shows maternal mortality rates decreased significantly in 2023. As you can see from this graph right here, rates in 2023 were 12.5 deaths per 100,000 live births for women younger than the age of 25, compared to 14.4 in 2022. It was 18.1 for those 25 to 39, compared to 21.1 in 2022, and 59.8 for those age 40 and older, compared to 87.1 in 2022. This was the first full year after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and many states had strong pro-life laws in place. Meanwhile, flu season is in full swing here in the United States, and it is hitting particularly hard. According to recent data from the CDC, ending the week of February 1st, 43 states, as well as Washington, D.C., are reporting high or very high flu activity. Additionally, so far this season, there have been 24 million reported cases, over 300,000 hospitalizations, and 13,000 deaths. And joining us now with more on this very active flu season and what you need to know is Dr. William Schaffner, professor of medicine in infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Schaffner, good to be with you today. It really seems like influenza is really running rampant right now. But how does this flu season compare to others?
Well, Tracy, it's wintertime, right? And that's the time when flu has its annual outbreak. Some of them are milder, some of them are more severe. And this year's flu season seems to be on the more severe end of the spectrum. As you have just said, there are oodles of cases. Emergency rooms and hospitals are full of people with influenza and its complications. And that's very unsettling, unfortunate, but it's what we can do. Most of the people who are in the hospital today because they have severe flu, unfortunately, didn't get their vaccine. And so let's all make a resolution this fall, when we're preparing for the next flu season, let's all get vaccinated. That vaccine helps keep us out of the hospital. It can't prevent every case of the flu, but it helps prevent the most serious aspects of influenza.
Absolutely, it certainly does. And doctor, what do you think is contributing to these high flu levels this year? And what strain is most prevalent right now?
Well, we're having two influenza A strains, not to get too wonky about this, but the AH1N1 and the AH3N2. Both of these strains are out there and causing most of the influenza. They're hitting people who are unvaccinated, and of course, always older persons, persons who have underlying chronic medical conditions, people who are immune compromised. All those folks, whether vaccinated or not, if they go out today to indoor activities with a lot of other people, even to the supermarket, put your mask back on. It's another layer of protection, and they may want to think about streaming the movie rather than going to the movie.
Well, let me ask you this. There's so many things floating around now that we know, a lot of different types of viruses. How can you tell if it's a seasonal flu compared to COVID or maybe something else?
Well, that's a very good question, and you often cannot. And that's why testing is so important, particularly for those people who are in those high-risk groups that I mentioned, because if you have flu or if you have COVID, we have medicines, different medicines, that can treat those. So if you're in a high-risk group, contact that healthcare provider very, very quickly, because you may well get tested and can get treatment for whichever kind of viral illness you happen to have.
Yeah, and it's very important to get that under control. We know that. We've also been hearing a lot about the bird flu. What's the latest with that, and should we be concerned?
Well, be interested for sure, but cross your fingers. At the moment, bird flu has not acquired the capacity to spread readily from person to person. It's out there in poultry flocks. That's why the egg prices are going up. It's out there in dairy cattle, but pasteurization actually kills the virus. So we're in good shape there so far. The risk of bird flu to the average person is teeny tiny. At the moment, the risk of seasonal flu is very high, however.
Absolutely. A lot of us know that personally. Dr. Schaffner, thank you so much for being with us and all your great advice. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, to Romania now, where the country's president has resigned a day before he faced an impeachment vote. President Klaus Iohannis was facing mounting tension from populist opposition groups after a top court annulled a presidential election back in December. The country was left without an incoming president, so Iohannis decided to extend his term until a successor could be chosen. Hundreds of protesters had gathered in Bucharest to call for his resignation. When it was announced, the demonstrators cheered and broke through a police barrier. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a message of peace, what the Holy Father told members of the armed forces at a special jubilee. Plus, thousands of Catholics will turn out in New York City for the annual Encounter event, and one of the presenters just may surprise you. Past few days, delegations from over 100 countries gathered in Rome for the Jubilee of Armed Forces, where the Holy Father thanked them for their service and encouraged them to turn to God as a source of strength. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sittergren has more.
More than 30,000 people flocked to Rome over the weekend for the second major event of the Holy Year, the Jubilee of the Armed Forces, Police and Security Personnel. The event was dedicated to recognizing their service of bringing hope to people across the globe. Among the speakers, Lieutenant Colonel Osren Lukenda of the Croatian Navy explained how this Jubilee Year of Hope ties into the noble peacekeeping efforts of military operations.
The conduct of peacekeeping military operation has a noble cause, and it brings hope to all those affected by atrocities, because their wish is peace and nothing but the peace.
Due to breathing difficulties, Pope Francis, who has been battling bronchitis for a long time, asked his Master of Ceremonies, Archbishop Diego Ravelli, to continue reading his homily for him. In it, the Pope praised the vigilance of armed forces, police and security personnel amid the opposing forces of evil, and noted that the protection of the defenseless and upholding of the law can serve as a lesson for all.
Ci insegna che il bene può vincere, nonostante tutto.
They teach us that goodness can prevail over everything. They teach us that justice, fairness, and civic responsibility remain as necessary nowadays as ever.
Nonostante le forze contrarie del male.
After also thanking the chaplains who provide moral and spiritual support to military and security personnel, the Holy Father encouraged all present to never lose sight of the purpose of their service, to promote life, to save lives, and to be a constant defender of life. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
Well, in just a few days, thousands of Catholics will converge on New York to encounter the Lord. New York Encounter begins this Friday and runs through the weekend, offering exhibits, presentations, and much more. And joining us now is Monica Srinivasa, a volunteer at the New York Encounter. Monica, great to see you. First, for those who may not be familiar, tell us a little bit more about the event and what people can expect.
Certainly. The New York Encounter is an annual event. It features panel discussions, artistic performances, exhibits. It takes place in New York City, February 14 to 16 at the Metropolitan Pavilion, which is on West 18th Street. If you cannot make it in person, you can live stream the event. And it's free. It's open to the public. No registration is required. You can just walk in off the street. And really what it aims to do is to look at today's most urgent issues in society with a Catholic perspective.
That is so great. And I know this theme this year is Here Begins a New Life. Can you talk to us more about that?
Sure, definitely. So the theme this year tries to explore memory and also hope. It's taken as a direct quote from Dante Alighieri. This was the first time that he saw Beatrice, who really represented to him capital love and beauty with a capital L and a capital B, which to us represents Christ. And the theme this year explores how we have had a very difficult relationship with our past. We see today in society all of the negative effects of falling away from our past and losing our tradition. And how important it is to understand who can heal the past and really represent hope for the future for us. And so the themes that are presented this year take that into account. Lots of different interesting political events that are presented throughout the encounter this year, as well as themes related to the person and how we've really fallen away from who we are, and how to re-engage with knowing that.
Yeah, Monica, I understand your opening presentation will be from the chief architect of the reconstruction of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. You know, how does that, or how does he fit into the theme?
Yes, exactly. Well, Notre Dame has had such an interesting history, and especially through the current recent events. So he'll be giving our opening presentation, speaking about his experience, and he'll also be accompanied by Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston.
Well, Monica, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this with us. We appreciate it. And again, it begins on Friday, February 14th. We appreciate it. God bless.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, finally, it was a night to shine over the weekend. Hundreds of churches around the world hosted an unforgettable prom night experience with people with special needs sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation. The event centered on God's love and celebrated the uniqueness of each individual guest. All right, take a look at these videos right here. They were having a blast. And while they got the chance to hit the dance floor, they also got to walk down the red carpet and wear crowns to resemble how God sees them every single day. The initiative started more than a decade ago, holding a prom-like experience in more than 60 countries such as Colombia, India, Haiti, Nigeria, and here in the U.S. Beautiful. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.